You've tuned into the Chris Bean Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Chris Bean Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about, as long as I don't mess up. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and as long as we don't mess up, we'll bring it to you with our unique brand of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
No, you just never know between all of our news headlines, our entertainment things that we like to go over, and the wacky odd news. You just never know what you're in for when you download a podcast of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Woo!
That's right. It's always a surprise.
Yeah, I'm a little bit out of breath already because I'm still recovering from this weekend.
Oh my gosh, I know. This weekend we were going 100 miles an hour at the Too Many Games convention.
Yeah, it was in Oaks, PA, and we'll cover that more in depth in the entertainment entree, but whew, just so much fun, so many games. Literally, the convention is called Too Many Games because we play too many games.
Right, for good reason.
Yes, so stick around to the entertainment entree for our complete coverage of Too Many Games 2014 at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, PA. We've got a lot to talk about there. But you know what? Before we even get into the sports sampler, we like to do a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of, you know, how are we doing, stuff like that. So, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing swell. As you just mentioned, we're both tired from the weekend, but I'm looking forward to this weekend because we have the 4th of July coming up.
Yes, and 4th of July is always a great time. We've got barbecues and America and patriotism.
Yes, it's so great.
But here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, the 4th of July marks an historic point in the show.
That's right. We hold it near and dear to our hearts because of something amazing that happened on the 4th of July. And I'm not just talking about my birthday on the 5th afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. It's your birthday, too.
We're talking about a very special guest we had last year around this time. Isn't that right, Rich?
Yes. He has the honor of making me completely speechless.
Yeah.
Which is something that pretty much 99.9% of the time never happens here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I might mess up, but I usually don't go speechless. And you know, we've proven that we will mess up, but we'll still try and ramble on. Isn't that right?
That's right. Nejne obohosa parav ravava tela nejasima.
Nejne obosoda rova vitel nejimjimu. See, even if we mess up, we still try and go on. But this guy actually made me speechless. I came to a dead stop. No words could come out of my mouth after we had him on the show. And this person that we're talking about
is my dad.
Yes. So please welcome the return, the long-awaited return of Mr. Costanzo, Mike's dad. Yeah.
No sausages.
Sausages.
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. Gonna have American hamburgers.
Yeah, we even got theme music for you.
So,
how are you doing?
How you doing,
Hi,
Dad?
Guys, it's good to be here. Last year we talked about hot dogs and hamburgers, and the same thing holds true. You know, the best thing to have is a hot dog and a hamburger.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
He's standing by his party line of hot dogs and hamburgers.
Absolutely.
If you elect Mr. Costanzo to president or governor or whatever political office you want to elect him to, that is his first platform.
That's a good that's a platform that all Americans can get behind, I think, is hot dogs and hamburgers. Right, Dad?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And don't forget, this year we're going to do something different. We're going to get away from the pasta salad. We're going to go to macaroni salad.
This is an exclusive we got all of a sudden.
So this is the 2014 issue. Now it's macaroni salad?
Macaroni salad. We got fancy. We went to the European spaghetti. We called it pasta. Now we're going to switch over, go back to the homegrown macaroni salad.
All right.
Absolutely wonderful.
All macaroni salad all the time.
You know what, though? Before we get too far along, maybe we should remind people about my dad's first appearance on the show. What do you
think? Yes. All right. So, yeah, for those that weren't listening to the Crispy Noodle podcast a year ago, let's play the infamous clip that made me completely speechless.
All right. Let's play the clip. It's my dad.
Hey!
We always wanted to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here. Just say something.
All right. Mike apparently has given up on this podcast. How are you doing, Mr. Costanzo?
What's there to say? Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. And let me tell you, we're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill, the hamburger hot, right off the grill, instead of waiting, you know, for the whole meal. That's the way I want to do it. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers. No sausages. No sausages. No sausages.
Is this because I make fun of Mike on the sausages?
No, we're just, it's American. No sausage.
So sausages aren't American?
And hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages. Sausages!
All right, there you go. Official.
Official wrap up there. Why?
There you go. That was one of the few moments here on the Crispy Noodle podcast that made me absolutely speechless, and it's all because of you.
Well, nothing's going to change. We're going to do the same thing. It's going to be a good time, and we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers, but no sausages.
All right. Well, so, there you go.
There you go. Some parting words of wisdom from my dad. Dad, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
All right. There you go. Mr. Costanzo came back. He lived up to his promise. He said he was going to come back on the one-year anniversary.
He said he would, and he did, so that was awesome.
He's very shy, but I'm glad that he came on.
Yeah. It's always and, you know, we do it out of love. We love his crazy sense of humor and random outbursts.
Yep.
It's great.
So there you go. This 4th of July weekend, make sure you enjoy your hot dogs and hamburgers.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
All right, there you go. All right, now with all that hoopla aside, let's dive into this week's headlines. And we'd like to start it off with sports. And we'd like to start it off in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports!
In your face.
Yep. Time for some sports news. And this first story, I can't help but love as a Philadelphia fan.
Yeah. Talking about in your face.
Yeah, right.
I think the Philly fans got in someone's face recently, didn't they?
Yep. During the past week in Philadelphia, for the first time ever, Philadelphia hosted the National Hockey League's draft.
Oh, that's a big, important event for the city to host. And
yep, never in the history of the NHL.
Yeah, it should bring a nice spotlight to our peaceful little town, right?
Peaceful is probably not the word you should use.
Oh, so you mean very, very friendly, brotherly love type town, right?
That's funny you should mention that.
I'm sure we were upstanding and polite the whole time, right?
No.
Wait, what happened then?
Well, first off, the night was not good for one Gary Bettman, who is the NHL commissioner. He was called up on the stage, as usual. That's what the commissioner does at drafts. They are the first ones to give, you know, their little spiel about the state of the league and, you know, start, you know, who the first team is on the clock. Well, just that little tidbit was enough for Philly fans to boo him. And we're not talking about just a couple of boos here. I have the clip here pulled up. You won't believe how bad they're booing him.
How bad were they?
Well, here it is, right here for you. Let's play the audio of Gary Bettman trying to get through the beginning of the NHL draft in Philadelphia.
Supposed to be the city of brotherly love? markets in the world. Thank you to Ed Snyder, Brian Roberts, Dave Scott, Paul Holmgren, Sean Tilger, Ron Hextall, and Bob Clark, and the entire Flyers organization for the hospitality you're showing around town and here at the Wells Fargo Center. Thank you to the Flyers as well for your commitment to youth hockey. Finally, congratulations as well to the scouts and club personnel who have spent countless hours preparing for what we're about to witness. In honor of these efforts, and to give you a break, let's not wait any longer. The first selection of the 2014 National Hockey League Draft belongs to the Florida Panthers.
So there's a sense of...
There you go.
Just an unrelenting...
Exactly. It was like that.
Everything he said, he was like, thank you for your hospitality.
You giving money to charity. Boo.
The city of brotherly. Boo. He was like hinting to like, shut the hell up, guys.
Your enthusiasm. Boo. The best part is the boos kept going for all 31 teams other than the Flyers.
Wow.
Yep. All teams except for the Flyers in the first round got booed.
I think brotherly love refers only to our own brothers. Yeah. Not to our brothers from other states and cities.
Yeah, we're not talking about brothers from another mothers here.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to be our brother.
Yes.
All right. Yes. We are not that. We are not playing around here.
I am your brother, your best friend forever, singing the songs, the music that you love.
Yep, it was like that.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. I'm glad that we welcomed the commissioner the right way.
Yep. Yep. And all 30 and all the rest of the NHL teams that aren't the Flyers.
I just think that's hilarious. What were people expecting?
Yeah.
Us to throw roses and, you know, be cheery? Like, no.
Yeah, you know, just you can't beat it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that was the first time that the Flyers hosted the NHL draft.
No, you mean first and last time.
Yeah, I think as long as Bettman is the commissioner, I don't think he'll ever have a draft here in Philadelphia again.
He was booed through the entirety of his little intro spiel.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. That was incredible.
That's a full 2 minutes of booing.
Yeah. And while he was talking, there was no let up whatsoever. In fact, there were surges after certain points. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I also thought it was weird. Like, he was thanking literally everybody. Like,
yeah.
Thank you to all the scouts and the hot dog vendors and the beer pourers that make the NHL so great.
Yeah. That'd be like if we had that clip play the entire time we do this show.
Yeah.
That's what the commissioner must have felt like.
Yeah. And then, of course, him mentioning that isn't this the city of brotherly love?
Oh, yeah.
That was just worse. Why did you drew attention to it. That's the worst thing you can do.
Well, I feel like he was trying to hint at them. You know, he was like, hey, guys, cut it out.
Well,
but
Philadelphia fans can't take a hint. No.
Yeah, well, no, we don't take kindly to that stuff.
We don't take kindly to hints. Yeah.
We don't like your kind around these here parts. Why are we Southern all of a sudden?
I was trying to be more tough.
Oh. Well, it sounded Southern.
Yeah. You think I'm more Southern?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like Philadelphia that moved below the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, we're the South Philadelphia.
No, we're the middle of Pennsylvania.
People. The middle of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Yeah, right.
I think that's called Harrisburg.
Yeah. Harrisburg doesn't have a team. Penguins suck. I don't like that Crosby guy, so I guess I'm going to have to root for the Flyers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yep, bug-eye joke here.
Buckeye, I didn't know you were a local.
Yep, I'm actually a Philadelphia Flyers fan.
It's odd because you don't sound like you're from Philadelphia.
Nope, but right now I make up my residence south of Harrisburg.
Where are you originally from, Buckeye Chuck, that you have such a thick accent?
Teal Har, Mississippi.
Teal Har?
Yeah.
Were you trying to say Tar Heel?
Nope, it's Teal Har. Make sure you get it right.
Teal L L L. Teal Har, Mississippi. So log that away in your lore books, boys and girls.
Yep.
The Crispy Noodles Buckeye Chuck is officially from Teal Har, Mississippi. That's teal with four E's and three L's.
Yep, exactly.
Teal Har, Mississippi.
Buckeye Chuck needs to go away. He's usually not called upon until the odd news segment.
Bye, Buckeye.
Yeah, get him away. Okay, but anyway, there you go. The Flyers fans' relentless booing of the NHL commissioner during Philadelphia's first and probably only NHL draft ever in history.
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Yep. It was fun while it lasted. It was a good old time.
You know who else is saying that, Rich?
Who else?
Maybe the Brooklyn Nets head coach, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a strange thing. And something very unique only to the NBA.
Yeah, when you text me this, I had to do a double take because it just caught me off guard. I didn't realize that this was even possible.
Yep, only in the NBA are you allowed to actually trade your coach.
Yeah, I mean, we hear about trading players, and in baseball, they can trade money, too, can't they?
Yeah,
and
they can also trade washing machines. No. But, so there are some other commodities that can be traded.
But coaches,
yeah, that's only basketball.
Yeah, and, very strange.
Jason Kidd apparently forced his way out of the Brooklyn Nets organization and got a trade to be sent to the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right.
Yep.
I guess that's good for him.
Well, the story was he was dissatisfied with the lack of control that he had over his team.
So he wanted out is what it was.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Brooklyn Nets decided, hey, if he wants out, he might as well get something out of it.
Right.
So they traded him to the Milwaukee Bucks for 2 second round draft picks.
That's a pretty good deal, I guess.
Yep. But, it's just something that only happens in the NBA. You can only trade coaches there.
Yeah, that's very strange. Is there any reason why that they can trade coaches, or is it just always been part of the game and no one's questioned it?
I guess NBA, they just figure, hey, you know, why not?
It's just so strange because no other sport...
baseball doesn't do it, hockey doesn't do that, football doesn't do that.
Although, let me tell you, some Philadelphia Eagles fans probably would have liked to trade Andy Reid back in the day.
Yeah.
Trading for a cheesesteak.
chicken sandwich. I need to take more responsibility. More responsibility for the way the Eagles are.
And, screen pass.
Can someone get me a cheesesteak? Thank you. I miss doing imitation Andy Reid.
Yeah, we can't pick on Andy Reid anymore.
He's not in our town
now
anymore.
Now that Chip Kelly is winning, gosh darn it, now we can't pick on Andy Reid.
Yeah. So we have to wait till Andy Reid comes back to Philly or something or... But, does something stupid.
But we're getting off track. We're supposed to be talking about Jason Kidd and the Brooklyn Nets here.
Yeah. I figured it was something to bring to your attention that in basketball, you're allowed to trade coaches. I think a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, that's very strange. Although it puts the Brooklyn Nets in a tough position now because they need to find a new head coach.
Yeah.
Or I guess they'll just bring somebody up from the organization.
Yeah, they can do either or.
Yeah.
But hey, the Milwaukee Bucks, you're getting a new head coach.
Yeah, they had to give up two picks for him though.
Yeah, so
that's good. That's good for the Nets though. They get two picks without sacrificing an actual player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always tough to replace a coach, but you still need the talent on the court.
Yeah. So, Milwaukee Bucks, you better pay off for you. You just lost 2 second round picks for him. But there you go. Latest in, NBA news. And we'll keep you abreast with any other NBA free agent news or trading as that happens. But now let's get into... You know what? Hey, speaking of the Eagles, right? Isn't that our next topic?
That's right. We do have
there
some,
we go.
We do have some Eagle news.
So wait, we got football news?
That's right. Good old football news.
You know what? Before we played the infamous clip, we met the angry video game nerd at Too Many Games.
In fact, we did. And I believe you actually told him about... how we use his infamous football clip for the introduction of our football segments,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he loved it. So I hope he's listening. But anyway, this is how we start off every football segment of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
Yep, there you go. Thank you, Angry Video Game Nerd, for giving us that great sound bite that we use for football.
And you know what? A bunch of Philadelphia fans are probably feeling the same way right now about the Eagles, because this first bit of news we have is not exactly good news. It turns out that the Eagles' right tackle Lane Johnson tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs and is facing a four-game suspension.
That's not good. You can't mess around with that.
No, you can't, especially since he's our 2013 first-round pick. And, of course, he was part of that offensive line that led LeSean McCoy to a rushing title last year.
Yeah, but you really can't mess around with any sort of PEDs. That's just not
good. No, you cannot. The NFL is pretty strict nowadays with that type of stuff.
Yeah, they have to be.
Of course. You know, it could mess with the integrity of the game if they have players using PEDs or performance-enhancing drugs. So what do you think? How is this going to affect the Eagles' early schedule, Rich? Well, they're playing – I have the teams here. They're playing the Jags, the Colts, the Redskins, and the 49ers in those first four games.
Well, other than the 49ers, none of those teams' defenses really scare me, so that's good. But it's still going to be tough to hit the ground running, especially when your all-star offensive lineman is out for suspension.
Yeah, I mean, the Jags we can probably handle, although the Colts and even the Redskins, they're a division rival. They always seem to give us a tough time. And, you know, missing that right tackle, they could bring a lot of pressure on that side. Although LeSean McCoy usually runs to the left behind Jason Peters. So at least we got off easy there. But still, you know, that was one of the big things last year, that consistency along the offensive line, that now all of a sudden we're starting off with one of the key members missing.
Yeah, and the worst part is something like that can be prevented. Like, it's not like an injury.
Right, right. This is a dumb mistake, really, is what it is.
Yeah, and won't be a dumb mistake anymore if he does it again, because repeated offenses are the worst thing you can do in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
So Lane Johnson better have learned his lesson from this, and he better not do it again, because I think the next penalty is a full season out.
Oh, boy. I'm not sure, but that's a pretty steep penalty,
yeah.
And we don't want to have to face that.
So Lane Johnson, you know, hey, make sure you know, whatever vitamins you're taking, it's not against the performing-enhancing drugs guidelines here, because that would not be good if you're suspended for a whole season.
Yeah, it's a shame that something like this had to happen to the Eagles, because we're usually pretty good with this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a preventable thing. That's the thing.
That's the thing. You're just like, really? Come on.
Yeah. They know that the NFL is going to be testing for this type of stuff.
Yeah. So don't do it.
Yeah, there's really no excuses.
Yeah.
So hopefully after this four-game suspension, hopefully it's clear sailing from there on out.
Yeah. And second piece of Eagles news here?
Second piece of Eagles news is not so much negative news, just a little bit of head-scratching news. So recently, CBS reporter Pete Prisco called out Nick Foles as being an overrated player on the Eagles team.
What's that?
Yeah, Nick Foles, who led us to, what was it, 10 wins last year through 27 touchdown passes with only two interceptions?
Yeah.
He's overrated. Now, of course, he had to go on and explain his reasoning why when he appeared on WIP's afternoon show with Rob Ellis and Ray Didinger, and apparently they pulled apart his statement and proved that he wasn't exactly in the know when it came to Nick Foles. But regardless of that, I have a question for you, Rich. Do you think Nick Foles is overrated?
I think he might be a little bit higher than what he's truly worth for right now, because he's coming off of a great season with the Eagles. I mean, those stats are unbelievable. 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. I mean, that's almost perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't get much better than that.
So next season, he's going to have a reality check. He's not going to be throwing, you know, quite that accurate.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think he's overrated. I wouldn't mark him as overrated. If you have the nerve to say Nick Foles is overrated, I would like you to take a look, go to Google, and type in T-O-N-Y-R-O-M-O. There is a guy that is truly overrated.
And for those that can't spell, that would be Dallas quarterback Tony Romo.
Yeah. You want to talk about a guy that's actually overrated? It's that guy. Tony Romo. I've seen people put Tony Romo in their top five quarterbacks.
No way.
That is BS. Yeah. All right. The man has only won one playoff game, and that was against an injury-depleted Eagles team.
Yeah. And, you know, you also have to take into account that he's had some of the best offensive weapons the past decade.
And he's done crap with it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Eagles, who've historically had no offensive weapons with McNabb, we made it to plenty of playoff games and won playoff games. Not the big one, of course, but still.
Yeah.
But I love how we're talking about Nick Foles and you immediately start pouncing on Tony Romo. Hey, but you do.
I'll stick by it.
It's a good point.
If you think Nick Foles is overrated, Tony Romo has to be way more overrated.
Oh, definitely.
Way more.
I agree. Going back to the Nick Foles thing, I don't think he can be overrated because I don't think he was ever really on the radar of many people. He had,
he wasn't rated.
Well, no, he was rated, but I just think he really hasn't been making the headlines like the other quarterbacks have. Like, we all know that he had a good year, but I don't think anybody was calling him a top 10 quarterback, right?
No, he was just known as like the hot quarterback at the time.
Right, but I didn't, you know, the point I'm making is nobody put them in their top 10 list or anything ridiculous like that. I think he was rated exactly where he should have been rated, which is a phenomenal first season, but let's see what he can do next year.
Right, and that's the way the attitude should be.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anybody say anything other than that.
Right.
Right? Have you?
I mean, not anything crazy or anything.
Yeah, so I don't understand the overrated talk, but I will say this. Nick Foles has proven last year that he has what it takes. The Eagles led the league with 20-plus yard plays, 20-plus yard pass plays with 80. The next team on that list is the Broncos with 68.
Yeah, showing off Peyton Manning.
Right. So we have, 12 more 20-plus yard pass plays than Peyton Manning. So, you know, Nick Foles is proving that he can get it done. And for people that would say a lot of those were screen passes, the stats disagree because 17.4% of those passes traveled at least 20 yards in the air, and that's, once again, top of the league.
There you go.
So I think that perhaps Nick Foles isn't getting enough credit for what he did.
Well, I would say he might deserve some more credit for the fact that he was a rookie quarterback last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But
he's still got things to work on.
Yeah, he still needs to.
He's not a top 10 by any means.
No, he still needs to learn how to handle the pressure in the pocket because
definitely.
You've seen a couple games where he gets rattled.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But as for being overrated, if you have the nerve to say that Nick Foles is overrated, you have to at least list Tony Romo in that argument.
Yeah, there's a lot of other quarterbacks that I feel are overrated before Nick Foles, right?
Right.
Philip Rivers, Tony Romo. There's a couple of them out there.
Yeah. So there you go. That's where we stand on the whole is Nick Foles overrated business. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I can't believe anybody would make that statement. I'm, you know, once again,
Who's this guy?
Pete Prisco.
Pete Prisco, you're on my crap list.
From Pete Prisco from CBS.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our last story here in the sports sampler, and it is some soccer news, and it was the U.S.'s first game in the knockout round of the 2014 World Cup, and they faced Belgium in the first round of the knockout round, but unfortunately, they couldn't hang in there with Belgium and lost the final score 2-1. And with that, the U.S. soccer team officially knocked out of this year's FIFA World Cup. So close.
Yeah, it was tough to see them fall to Belgium. But, you know, we should be proud that they made it that far for being in such a tough round robin group. They faced Germany, Ghana, and who else? Portugal, I think?
Yeah, Portugal, yeah.
I mean, those are three big soccer teams. And we somehow made it into the group of 16, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that alone is an accomplishment.
Oh, definitely. For especially the U.S., who doesn't play soccer at all.
Yeah.
You know? Our soccer is our football is football, American football.
Yeah, football. but it's a shame to see the U.S. team eliminated in the round of 16. Kind of hoping that maybe they'd squeak one out by the Belgians.
Yeah, but didn't happen.
Wasn't in the cards. Interesting side note to go along with this. The popular restaurant chain Waffle House.
Yeah.
The day of the U.S. versus Belgium match actually boycotted Belgian waffles to support Team USA in the World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah. No Belgian waffles being ordered today.
Yeah, I think you mean Freedom Waffles, Rich.
Yeah. Waffles.
Patriot Waffles.
Yeah. Are the Belgians Dutch?
I don't know.
I think they're close. I mean, because they're right next to the Netherlands.
I think they might be.
Well, if so, I think it's appropriate to play this clip.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Yeah, that's what we were hoping the U.S. Team was going to be able to say to Belgium at the end of that game. But unfortunately, Belgium will move on, and the U.S. soccer team heads home. I'll tell you what, though. You know what the good part is? You know what the silver lining is in all this?
What is the silver lining?
The good part is, until a winner is crowned, we don't have to cover soccer anymore!
Yeah!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Cosmic boobies. Boobies.
What is this guy, think he's an Indian?
Like, such eyes?
She's a human!
We don't have to cover soccer anymore.
Oh, boy, that's like a weight lifted off our shoulders, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we try and be well-versed in all the sports, but soccer is just one of those that, like, you know, if you get a 0-0 game, it is boring.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to watch the game today, or on when was the game? Tuesday. And I just couldn't watch it.
Yeah, because there were the first half was 0-0.
Yeah,
there was no scoring in the first half of that game.
Yeah, and I forget when the first goal was scored. It was like near the very, very end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it just dragged on and on. But there's no denying it's the most popular sport in the world. We just can't handle it here in our ultra American ways.
Yeah, but you know what? Good for you, Belgium. You'll move on, and. We can play this clip one more time.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
There you go. I think they're Dutch.
Actually, the Dutch are from the Netherlands.
Right, but
I looked it up.
But the people.
Belgium?
Yeah. Like, I think they're all one.
They do have a population of Dutch.
There's Belgian Dutch.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they're that.
Yes.
I'm not exactly world traveler here, but I'm pretty sure there's a Belgian Dutch.
According to the most prominent source of information on the internet, Wikipedia, Belgium has over 120,000 Dutch people living
there
within
you
its
go.
Borders. So there you go.
So I'm kind of right in playing the clip. There you go.
The U.S. has 5 million, but you know.
give or take.
But no, the Dutch are technically in Belgium, so yes.
Yeah.
The point is, we don't have to deal with those crazy Dutch bastards anymore.
Yep, and we don't have to deal with crazy soccer bastards until we crown a winner.
Yeah. Who, unfortunately, will not be the U.S., but you know what? Congratulations to the U.S. soccer team for putting on such a great show for all the soccer fans here.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than we expected them to do.
Definitely, definitely.
You know? I mean, The American team was expected to be bounced out in the round robin.
Right. And you know what? They forced us to broaden our horizons by actually covering the sport of soccer.
Yeah.
Go figure.
So, good job, the USA team. I think they're coming home heroes in our book.
I think so. Definitely.
But you know what? There you go. That's a lot of sports news to cover.
Yeah.
I think we're going to need to take a little bit of a break before we head into our next segment. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. Soccer always tires me out. And I need a break before we dive into the entertainment entree after the commercial break, because we're talking about too many games, Rich.
Oh, we got so much to cover with that. So we'll give you our own inside look into too many games. Plus, we also have some news about one of our favorite comedians.
Oh.
So, yeah, a lot of news to go over in the entertainment entree. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. A lot more shows still coming your way. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And we've got an interesting segment coming up. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We cover all things in the entertainment world in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Baffled by something, you don't automatically throw it in jail. Otherwise, American prisons would be full of Keurig coffee machines.
What? Is it water first, then the cup? Do you take the lid off? Somebody put this witchcraft behind bars! It's wrong! It's morally wrong! I'm frightened!
Thank you, John Oliver!
So another person jumps to the aid of the pro coffee pot forces, huh?
Yep, John Oliver officially sides with me. Even goes a step further and says the Keurig machine should be in prison. How do you like that?
What do you call it, witchcraft?
Yeah, take that, Glenn Beck.
So it's Glenn Beck on the side of the Keurig and Rich and John Oliver on the side of the coffee pot.
I like my odds now.
You know, John Oliver, he sounds British. You know what that means? He's one of those socialist countries.
Collectivist. I'll never forget that.
That was amazing.
Glenn Beck calling my beloved coffee pot collectivist. Well, there you go. I'm striking back with the help of John Oliver. If you haven't seen his show, check out Last Week Tonight on HBO. And portions of it are free on YouTube.
And it is hilarious stuff.
Yeah, he definitely has great political commentary. But I just love that little bit. He represented the coffee pot people.
The Coffee Pot Federation.
Yeah.
Going up against the Keurig Republic.
Yeah, because they're Glenn Beck says that they're the epitome of freedom or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I just chose random names.
Well, there you go. I thought that was awesome that John Oliver put his two cents in on the coffee debate that we started here on the Crispy Noodle.
Yeah, if people don't remember, we started the coffee pot debate.
Yeah.
And then everyone else jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, we're trendsetters here.
That's right, we are.
Yep, go back. Look at the date times. We were first.
Yep, that's right. And then Glenn Beck responded to us, or, you know, sort of, basically to us.
Yeah.
And then John Oliver jumped on the bandwagon as well. Yeah. So.
But it all can be traced to us. We started this off.
That's right.
I like my coffee pot.
So
thank you.
So when the great coffee pot Keurig Civil War breaks out...
here in America.
The history books will show that the Crispy Noodle Podcast was...
The instigator.
Start of, yep, that's right.
We're instigators.
It was the beginning of the end.
That's right. So there you go. I thought that was interesting that John Oliver made a Keurig remark over the weekend. All right, now let's get into what we have planned for the entertainment entree. And, you know, we're going to start off this entertainment entree. The headline is more worse than I think what the news actually is. For those that haven't followed the celebrity news, the thing that's making the round right now is Robin Williams checked himself into a rehab for alcohol abuse. According to his representative, Robin Williams, who has been sober for some time, has checked into a treatment facility. It is not known whether or not he relapsed into alcoholism or anything, so do not jump the gun here.
Right, no jumping to conclusions.
Yep. According to his publicist, he said, quote, after working back-to-back projects, Robin is simply taking the opportunity to, quote, fine-tune and focus on his commitment of his commitment, period. there should be a period there. Thank you, ABC News. I thought there would be.
Good reporting, ABC. Jeez. See, we're more professional than the professionals.
Yeah.
we know grammars.
Yeah. Anyway, the quote is, after working back-to-back projects, Robin is simply taking the opportunity to, quote, fine-tune and focus on his commitment. Williams is 62 years old and confessed on Good Morning America that he struggled with alcoholism and cocaine abuse in the early 80s, but quit after his friend John Belushi overdosed in 1982. He had one relapse in 2006, but he did seek professional help afterwards. Williams has said before about addiction, quote, it's hard admitting addiction that once you've done it, it's really easy. You think people don't notice, but then you find out we knew. You went outside naked. So a little humorous clip there. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're worried about the general welfare of Robin Williams, who's, you know, one of my favorite comedic actors and right. stand-up comedians of all time.
He's a legend.
But you know what? If it's better that he's doing this as a preventative measure, which I'm hoping that it is, according to what the publicist is putting out there on behalf of him.
Right.
I think that's good on him. I think that's better than it being a reactionary thing.
Right.
If he
exactly.
went out in Hollywood and got plastered and, you know, just, you know, ended up what he said on his quote, ended up naked outside somebody's lawn.
Yeah. And the important thing to remember here is that he's seeking help. So he's getting help for whatever it is. And that's the important thing to keep in perspective, that he is getting help. And like the publicist said, what did the publicist say? He's reaffirming his commitment.
Yeah. To quote, fine tune and focus on the commitment.
Okay. So there you go.
So that doesn't, you know, nothing has been confirmed that like he relapsed or that he went on a binge or something dangerous happened to him. So if it's for a preventative measure, I'm all for it.
Right. And he's doing the responsible thing and he's seeking help and he's trying to take care of himself, which is the important thing.
Yeah. And you know, he's, you know, not that it's say he's old, but you know, 62, you know, he's starting to realize, you know, he's, you know, he can't be.
Yeah. He's getting up there.
He can't run
a
risk.
Right.
Know? If he feels like he's in dangerous need of having, you know, a couple drinks, he needs to take care of it.
Right.
Before it becomes too much of an addiction and he, you know, overdoses or something.
Right. He overdoes it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. A quick little headline that's buzzing around the entertainment world. I think the headline is kind of more exaggerated than what the story is, but still newsworthy, especially if you're a fan of one Robin Williams, which I am. I loved Robin Williams movies.
Yeah, well, he's great. He's always a funny guy to watch.
Yeah. One of my favorites is still, it's still to this day, have it on me wherever I go. You gotta love Good Morning Vietnam.
Good morning Vietnam!
I love that movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why, but whenever I think of Robin Williams, I think of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, well, that's not random. That's a great movie.
It's one of my favorites. I love that movie. It's hilarious, I think.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, there's a parody on YouTube where somebody recuts Mrs. Doubtfire into a stalker drama.
And it very well could be.
And it does fit pretty well.
It does. I mean, you take out the little humorous bits and all of a sudden it becomes a Lifetime movie about trying to escape a stalker husband, right?
Yeah. You know, a dad who loses custody of his kids.
Right.
Goes to extreme lengths to see him.
Right. Yeah. It's just...
Obsesses over the mom's boyfriend.
Yeah.
There are some creepy things in that movie.
If it were twisted just a little tiny bit in one direction, it could be a drama. You're right.
Yeah. But nevertheless... some of our favorite Robin Williams movies right there. But you know what? I think he'll get through this. I think he'll get through it, and he'll be back on his feet and doing movies again.
I think so, too. So the best of luck to Robin Williams in whatever this latest predicament is. Well, it's not really a predicament.
No, he's just checking himself in the rehab.
His latest endeavor.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. We'll see if there's any other news that breaks on that story. But for now, it seems like he's doing the responsible thing. All right. Now let's get into our next little update here. And it's one of our favorite sitcoms.
That's right. We're talking about Community. We have a little bit of an update. As the listeners of previous podcasts will know, we've been covering the trials and tribulations of one of our favorite sitcoms, trying to find a new home on a streaming service. Well, it turns out that they have. The Sony Pictures and Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, have signed a 13-episode sixth season order with Yahoo Screen.
Yeah.
And what is Yahoo Screen?
It's Yahoo's version of providing original content.
Okay.
So it's Yahoo's version of...
It's a
Netflix originals and Hulu originals.
It's a knockoff version of Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Right.
That nobody's ever heard of. I've never heard of Yahoo Screen.
I've heard of it before. They haven't done a whole lot of big name shows.
So this is their big name show.
Yeah, this is what they're going to try and splash into the market with.
Well, I think there's enough of a fan base for Community that they could draw some attention. I just hope they do the right thing. They don't charge too much for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could do well on Yahoo Screen.
I think so too.
But you never heard of it before?
No, I've never heard of Yahoo Screen. So I'm hoping that it works out well for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Dan Harmon and is it most of the cast or all the cast returning?
It is all of the cast. All the cast from the previous season. You have Dan Harmon returning, the showrunner, of course. You have Joel McHale, Jillian Jacobs, Yvette Nicole Brown, Danny Putty, Allison Brie, Ken Jeong, and Jim Rash. So
that's all the cast.
That's all the cast.
That should be fine.
Yeah. So it seems like they're going to go ahead with a full-fledged Community. It's not going to be what some had feared, a half-assed or a Community light version,
yeah.
Right, as we discussed previously.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's got hope.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just can't shake this feeling of worry about Yahoo's Screen, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, what's your worry? What's your concern?
I just don't know if it's big enough.
If it's big enough?
Yeah. I don't know if it has the money to really put on a good production. You know, and I don't know how much Sony is willing to put up to release this season on a smaller streaming site. Out of all the streaming sites, it goes Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and then YouTube. Nobody thinks about Yahoo Screen.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that a little worrying? I mean, Netflix was the big one that we were hoping for.
Yeah. But Yahoo is still a big corporation in and of itself.
That's true, it is.
I mean, I'm sure that they're going to pull some money for this.
I'm sure they're not.
I'm sure they're not going to just, you know, say, oh, we bought you, no more money from us.
No more money. I hope not. I hope that it doesn't come to that. Maybe I'm just being alarmist because Community has had such a tough road so far, you know.
For it being a successful sitcom, I don't know why it just kept getting crapped on by NBC.
Well, it never pulled down the ratings, you know. I mean, it was a critical darling, but it never got the highest numbers. So,
yeah,
I guess, you know, in a numbers game all about ad revenue and viewers, it didn't do the best for NBC.
Yeah, I bet your reality show's dead, though. Ugh.
Yeah, I hate all the reality shows.
Yeah.
I'll take Community over any reality show any day.
Same. Same. But you know what? I think it's a bright future. I think Community has a chance to do well with Yahoo Screen, and who knows, maybe they could do another season afterwards.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because there is an update here to the story. Yahoo Chief Marketing Officer Kathy Savitt issued a statement about Season 6 saying, "Our hope is to build and extend and prolong the series beyond the upcoming Season 6. She goes on to say, "Our hope is that it has a healthy future for Season 6 and well beyond."
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess it seems like they're hoping to expand it even.
Yeah, that would be great. I think Yahoo Screen could do it.
Well, I certainly hope so. And you know, maybe I am just being alarmist, but maybe this will be the show that brings it into the same discussions as Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
So, I'm just, bottom line though, I'm excited to get Community back.
Yeah. You will have new episodes of Community.
Yeah, 13 new episodes to be specific, and possibly more if it goes well. So everybody better go out and watch Community and support them.
There you go. It's a good show. I enjoy it.
It is an excellent show. It really is.
So there you go, our update on Community there. All right, now let's get into what we've been teasing for most of the show so far.
That's right. It's the big one, guys.
It's time to recap our time at Too Many Games over the weekend. Oh my gosh, we have so much fun. We were there Saturday and Sunday of the convention in Oaks, PA at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. And we spent pretty much the whole day on both days there.
Yeah. I think we were there for about 7 hours on Saturday and then another, I guess, 3 or 4 hours on Sunday. Because, you know, it lives up to the name, Too Many Games. There were so many games to check out, so much stuff to do between panels and, you know, different merchandise stands and all the games on display to play and developers to talk to, live music even.
Yeah, it was just nuts.
Yeah, it was just so much going on. It was a blast. So what did you think about the convention this year? In terms of compared to last year?
It definitely got bigger.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I definitely noticed a lot more people this year.
Yep, definitely a bigger turnout this year. I also thought there was a lot of good board and card games represented as well.
Yeah, there were quite. I was surprised to see a lot of card and board games there. A lot of new card and board games on display.
Right. The card and board game genre is not dead.
No, it is not. You know, of course, there's the old standbys like Magic and Pokemon, but we got to try a couple of brand new ones coming out or are looking to come out because one of them, I think, is still in the process of being kickstarted.
Right. So we got to play a couple of those new card games. And the indie game developers were fun to be with.
Oh yeah, we did a couple of interviews even with several of them. We got to sit down and talk with them and try out their games and find out, you know, a little bit about the development process. Another great thing, we got to try the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, That's right. That was the first time I ever used the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, the first time I've ever used it as well. How was your experience with the Oculus Rift?
We
played two games, right?
Yeah. I couldn't believe that if you tilted your head, it affected your aiming.
Yeah, it was
that was crazy.
It was really, really cool.
Your head movement actually affected how you were aiming.
Yeah, I've always wondered how it would actually feel to wear one of them and whether you would actually feel like you're in the game. But we played a first-person shooter on Sunday. What were we shooting? Like hot dog guns? Do you remember, that one?
Like some chompers?
Yeah.
It was developed by university.
Yeah, Edinburgh University,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'd be running around this giant environment, turning your head, and it brought you right into the game. I think it's perfect for first-person shooters.
Yeah. That was definitely a lot of fun to experience. And
and frightening, too.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but every time one of those things came out of nowhere and like landed on top of me, it was always a little shocking.
Yeah, when the chomper guys would come out of the sky. That was
crazy.
But, you know, it's interesting to think that could be the wave of the future. That's how we're going to be gaming soon.
Yeah, because it's not just the Oculus Rift that's going for VR. You have the Sony Project Morpheus. Have you seen their headset?
Yeah.
So, you know, companies are definitely going in that direction.
There is investment in virtual reality right now.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, Xbox is doing its thing with the Kinect. And, you know, Wii has always been using motion controls. So you see a combination of motion controls and virtual reality gaming. That's definitely where developers and publishers seem to be heading.
That's right.
So very exciting new tech on a show at Too Many Games.
Yeah. Other than that, there was also some cosplayers, some great costumes that we saw.
And we have a bunch of photos up on our Facebook and Twitter.
All of our photos are right now online on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want visuals, definitely check out our Facebook and Twitter pages.
Yeah, especially those cosplay photos.
Yeah, they were awesome.
We met Mario, Sub-Zero, Spider-Man, and an Argonian warrior from Skyrim.
Yeah, where else would you find all those universes together?
Yeah, together. And we even got them to put on a little battle for us, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have pictures of that on our Facebook page.
I got held up by Hitman, Agent.
Yeah, that's right.
Agent 47 himself.
Yep. Mike got threatened by Hitman. We have a picture of that. You can go see that.
We politely asked him if he could point his gun in my face.
Yeah. No big whoop.
No big whoop. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, to top it all off, we randomly ran into the angry video game nerd.
Yeah, that's right. He was he was literally just wandering around the show floor, right?
Yeah. He's got to enjoy the convention, too.
Yeah, exactly. There were people lining up all the way down the warehouse to get an autograph with the angry video game nerd people.
Yeah.
And we happened to bump into him just wandering around.
Right, when he was trying to play some games.
Yeah. And we kind of just assaulted him. No, but you know, he was very nice and very gracious and, you know, taking the time to talk to us and hear what we had to say.
It's always cool when you have a celebrity that like takes the time to say hi to everybody. And
yeah. And he listened to us talk about how we used his clip for our sports segment and just a really great guy. And we took some pictures with him. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. So, all right. Bottom line, all the pictures are up on our Facebook page. Go check them out. To get a sense of what happened. There was also the Nintendo car. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, the Nintendo car.
The Nintendo car. Guys, you got us. If you like Nintendo, if you even are remotely interested in Nintendo, go to our Facebook page right now and look at our album with the Nintendo car. That was so much fun to do a photo shoot with.
Yeah, it was. The car was completely done
completely.
Up.
Completely. We're not talking everything about like just like a little bit, like a little Nintendo decal or something.
No, the whole thing.
The whole car from top to bottom had Nintendo references.
And it was really, really cool. The paint job was amazing. All the different scenes from different Mario things. He had a Donkey Kong barrel on the top of the car, right?
Yeah, which was a keg.
Yeah.
I love that. He came up with that, an empty keg. Just spray painted it with the DK logo on it. Yeah. So definitely check out that album as well as all of our other pictures we took from the weekend at Too Many Games Convention 2014. It was so much fun. I was exhausted on Sunday and Monday and a little bit today, but
yeah,
it was worth it.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, and you know, and we'll have video interviews posted later this week. So
yes, we will, as well as preview articles for all the different games we sampled.
Yep. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, keep checking thecrispynoodle.com, and subscribe to us on YouTube so you get the full experience of what we went through at Too Many Games over the weekend.
It'll be like you were there with us.
Yeah, exactly. videos will come later this week. And just once again, I'd like to thank Christy Ann of Too Many Games Administration for giving us a media pass to get in.
Yeah, big thanks. Big thanks.
Big thanks. And just so much fun. Just, again, it was – if you are in the Philadelphia area and you like video games or card games or board games
– anything gaming, really.
If you are a gamer and you did not hear of the Too Many Games Convention this year, check it out next year. You're going to want to show up. For 2015. Awesome show. I had fun.
Yes, I had a blast as well.
Woo! And there you go. All that talk of Too Many Games and everything else in the entertainment entree. I think we need to take another break.
Yeah, we need a breather before we head into one of our wildest segments of the entire show.
That's right. Because, you know, we have the sports sampler. That's like your appetizer. Then your entertainment entree. That's the main course. But for dessert, you gotta have the non-fortune cookie odd news, and we've got a lot of stories to hit you with in that segment. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast coming up.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide, thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we're ready to go here with our next portion of the show. It features the wackiest news stories that you will ever hear. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
I thought you were going to elaborate more on that.
Sorry, I will elaborate. It's the wackiest, it's the wildest, it's the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
This is so bad.
Yep. If you don't watch out with these news stories, it can be pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's always, how should I put this? The criminals are stupid.
Yep, and outrageous at times.
Yeah, but you know, let me recap. What the odd news is all about. For those that don't know, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps all the articles hidden and secret away from me, so I have no idea what he's got in store for me. All my reactions are my genuine reactions, my gut reactions. I've never heard anything before, so it's always a surprise for me, always a surprise for the listeners, and always a surprise for Rich, because he never knows what type of tangent we'll go on.
Yeah, that's right. So should we just dive right in?
Let's do that.
All right, our first story is a local story.
How local?
It is Wilmington.
Okay.
You know, yeah. It's about an hour drive from Philly, but not crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You just hop on 95 and you're good to go.
So what happened in good old Wilmington?
Police in Delaware have arrested a man who is accused of stealing 72 pounds of frozen chicken from a delivery truck and then placing the poultry randomly at a daycare.
Oh, that's a lot of chicken.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
And why did he give it to a daycare or place it at a daycare?
Can you hide that for me? Ronald Johnson allegedly took the chicken from a truck that was delivering to a grocery store in Wilmington on Friday and then attempted to hide the food at a nearby daycare. A daycare employee saw the chicken stash and obviously called the police.
No kid.
You know, 72 pounds of frozen chicken. That's kind of suspicious.
Yeah.
We're not talking about just one package.
No. Either. 72 pounds is a lot of anything.
Yeah.
This had to be a lot of chicken.
Yeah. The police arrived, and the chickens were returned to the driver of the delivery truck. So they must have got there pretty fast because it didn't spoil, so that's good.
Yeah. So what'd they do? They took it back to the grocery store and put them back on the shelves?
Well, yeah, why not? It's still good.
I don't know. Some crazy lunatic was driving around with them and left them at a daycare.
Still good.
Yeah, mark it down a couple of cents and put it back on the shelves.
Put it on discount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This chicken was involved in a robbery.
Still good. Later on, when the 49-year-old suspect returned for the chicken, an employee confronted him.
Wait, he left it at the daycare because he was going to come back to it?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just take it home?
He was busy.
He was busy clearing out his freezer for the 72 pounds of chicken. What are you going to do with 72 pounds of chicken?
Cook them? I don't know.
All at once?
4th of July, barbecue. It's time.
My God, how big of a party is he having that he needs 72 pounds of chicken?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be pretty big. After the employee confronted him, Johnson ran on foot, but then a cop caught up to him and he was taken into custody. He is charged with second degree assault and theft under $1,500, resisting arrest, and offensive touching. So there must have been some action with the cop before he took him in.
Yeah. Either that or it was for fondling the frozen chickens.
Oh, that's not... All right. Then if that happens, you can't sell that.
No.
That would not be
This good. Is a very strange story. I mean, they're all strange, but 72 pounds of frozen chicken is just a very large amount of chicken.
Yeah. A little bit too much there.
Yeah. I love the fact that he thought, I'll leave it at the daycare center, and I'll come back for it later.
Yeah, what kid is going to check for 72 pounds of chicken?
Yeah. What did he do? Just drop it on the front doorstep? Like, did he even try and hide it?
He dumped it in the back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right, this one is a very violent story.
Uh-oh.
But... This one
that doesn't sound good.
Yep, yeah, it's very violent, but you know what? At the same time, it's worthy enough that you gotta cover it.
Okay.
A Chinese man was killed when his throat was slit.
Oh my gosh!
And his still beating heart was pulled out of his chest, all because of a fight about noodles.
Fatality.
They were fighting over us.
They were fighting over the crispy noodles.
I feel somehow responsible now.
Fatality.
Flawless victory. Yeah. He had his heart pulled out?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous.
Fatality.
Was the person doing the pulling Kano by any chance?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Bo Tuan allegedly carried out the brutal attack on Yol Liao because the victim turned down Tuan's request to share a bowl of noodles.
Fatality.
So the person that got his heart pulled out didn't want to share noodles?
No.
And so he got his heart ripped out.
The 29-year-old and Liao began arguing, and then Tuan pulled out a knife. He then slit the throat and then brutalized his body by cutting open his still beating heart.
I mean, I know this isn't funny, but at the same time, this was an argument over noodles.
Yep.
Like... Oh, my gosh.
And the worst part is he did it outside. An eyewitness said that, quote, "It was bloody. I can't get the images out of my mind. He sliced the man open like he was a bag of rice, pulled his heart out, showed it to us all, and it was still beating. People fainted. People fainted. I wish I could have fainted."
This is so gruesome, Rich. What the hell?
But it was all because of noodles.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. Somebody said, "Hey, Bob, you want to share some noodles?" And Bob says, "No." So the original guy says, "Okay, I'm going to rip your heart out."
Fatality.
Am I getting that right? He was mad that the other guy wouldn't share noodles with him?
Yep, that's essentially the cause of this fight.
Then why didn't he just eat the noodles by himself?
He should have at least ran away. Something.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh,
all over noodles.
Oh, man. I mean, we've had some weird stories about, like, people arguing over, what was it, American Idol?
Yeah.
And the couple started fighting with knives.
Yeah.
This was over noodles.
Noodles.
Wet.
Fatality.
Wet cooked noodles. Hey, come on now, people.
After Tuan held the heart in his hands, he actually ate it.
All right, so something is not right with this guy.
Yeah, now we're getting into Hannibal Lecter territory.
I thought he just wanted noodles.
Now he wants some heart, too.
Now he wants some heart.
Mmm.
Fatality.
Oh, my gosh. And he did all this out in public.
Yep. When officers arrived, Tuan did not even fight or resist.
Well, he probably still had heart dangling from his teeth.
He had blood all over him.
Yeah.
A little bit of heart in his teeth. He had to pick it out.
The police get there and goes, do you have a toothpick?
Yeah, before you take me into custody, do you got a toothpick?
Bob's left ventricle is stuck inside my teeth.
Fatality.
This really is like a live-action Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
This really does sound like something in Mortal Kombat.
If only we had gotten the Sub-Zero cosplayer from Too Many Games.
Yeah.
He could have stopped this.
Yeah, use his snow...
Ice
bolt.
Yeah.
The
freezing attack. Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, true story. Man killed over noodles and his heart eaten out.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Hannibal Lecter style here. That's how they do things in China.
I guess so.
That's what happens when you don't share.
So you see, if someone asks to share noodles with you, you always say yes.
Yes, exactly.
Or you might get your heart eaten.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
A woman in Hutchinson, Kansas, is charged with arson after police say she set her home on fire because she tried to kill a spider.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
So, she tried to kill a spider with fire.
Yes.
When has that ever worked?
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Like, did she not stop and think, like, oh, the spider's on the wall, I should use fire, but the wall is flammable, so I should still use fire?
Hell, maybe it's in my ultimate form!
Yeah. Ginny Griffith, a 34-year-old, told officers that she used a cigarette lighter to set some towels on fire.
What?
Around 1:30 in the morning.
You know, spiders can move. You think they're just going to stand there and be burned alive?
Hell, maybe it's in my ultimate form!
She was hoping to catch the spider with the flaming towels and burn it to death.
Why don't you just crush it? It seems like... like, so much effort to light towels on fire.
Well, it's unclear if she ever caught the spider, but the fire that resulted did necessitate intervention from the fire department. 5 units were summoned and managed in order to control the fire, which they said had multiple points of origin within a matter of minutes. Griffith's aggravated arson charge stems from the fact that the other half of the duplex was occupied. So that's not cool. You can't be doing that.
No.
Not with neighbors right next to you.
No, you can't burn down a neighbor's house to get a spider.
Luckily, no one was injured in the fire, and only the building suffered damage.
She didn't even get the spider.
No, and she didn't even get the spider.
So the spider... the spider is still living in the burnt out husk of a home that was
laughing.
Left there. And, yeah, just laughing.
You suck.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
So
I think it's interesting that they said it had multiple points of origin.
Yeah.
The fire. So that means that she was lighting multiple things on fire.
Multiple towels on fire.
Or maybe one towel and just swinging it around. Trying to hit the spider and just lighting everything on fire. At some point, you know, you light the towel on fire, you go, okay, I've already gone down this path, so I might as well continue.
My bedroom's burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
The bathroom is burnt to a crisp. I don't know. Don't you think I should probably just take two out of four rooms and just leave it at that?
Exactly. You're swinging a flaming towel around, and you notice you're setting the walls on fire, the furniture on fire, and at no point do you stop and think, this is a really bad idea.
Nope.
As your couch slowly burns.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Nope, she didn't even think that once.
Oh, boy. So I guess what they say on the internet is true. Have you ever seen on forums where they're like, somebody shows a scary picture and they say, oh, time to burn down the house.
No. Time to kill it with fire.
Time to kill it with fire. Whatever. Same thing. I've seen it either way.
Yeah. Well, she actually took that advice literally. Kill it with fire. All right. Oh. You ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I actually have a couple of Florida stories for you. So I guess we're actually going to have a Florida segment.
All right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, our new Florida introduction there.
So we have a couple of stories from Florida. How many stories from Florida?
I actually have three stories this week.
Wow.
Yeah, they wanted to get their punch in before 4th of July.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. We'll probably have a whole batch after 4th of July, too.
Yeah, perfect. The cycle keeps going.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. All right, so what stories do we got today?
All right, the first one involves a Florida man.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
Yep, Mr. Pacino, let me read it to you. A Florida man was charged with aggravated battery after he allegedly shot his own son while the younger man attempted to make a very slow getaway on a riding mower.
Wouldn't it have been faster just to jump off the mower and run?
71-year-old Marshall Harmon was taken into custody after he shot his 32-year-old son. The two apparently got into an argument at a nearby home, so Harmon's son jumped on a riding lawnmower and started to drive away.
Oh, my God.
The elder Harmon followed in his pickup truck and gave chase. It's like a family version of Cops or something.
It's like a bicycle versus a jet.
We have to follow him.
why did he jump in the riding mower? Bad boys,
what you gonna tonight do? On Cops, a father has to give chase to his runaway son who's on a lawnmower. Only in Florida.
And the son stops to mow the neighbor's lawn as the father continues chasing in his pickup truck. Oh, my gosh.
When Harmon was able to pull his truck right up besides the lawnmower that was riding his son away, he allegedly fired two shots at him. One of the shots did hit him, and he had to be taken to the hospital with a non-life-threatening injury. So I guess it hit him in, like, the leg or something.
Yeah, well, at least that's good news. The bad news is that he's stupid enough to think he could escape on a riding lawnmower. He could have ran faster.
Yeah.
He could have hidden somewhere that the pickup truck couldn't drive.
The lawnmower doesn't go that fast.
No, it doesn't.
It's not like there's an extra gear that you don't.
Yeah. I'm going to throw it into third gear.
Yep. Oh, boost special.
picked up a nitro boost.
Yeah, this isn't a video game.
Oh, man, he's pushing 25 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
How will my pickup truck keep up with him?
Another case where the father did not protest when the cops came and took him into custody.
Well, yeah, because he's riding alongside a lawnmower and his gun's got bullet wounds in him.
I love these stories where the guy is like, you know what?
They know that they messed up, you know?
It's okay. You may arrest me.
Oh, my gosh.
So, our first story from Florida there.
Only in Florida do people try and escape on a riding mower.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, ready for our next story?
Sure.
Our next Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Florida 56-year-old woman was arrested after her 25-year-old friend told sheriff's officers that she chased him around with a knife and a cane after he rejected her sexual advances.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The man was hanging out with Elizabeth Hiley at her home and drinking wine at her place when she started to put the moves on him.
Oh.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Wow, that's like super cougar.
Yeah.
56-year-old with a 25-year-old?
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, super cougar here.
Yeah.
According to the man, when he rejected her proposition, she got angry and lost control. She allegedly chased him around the house with a cane and then bumped it up with a hunting knife.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I love the choice of weapons. It's like, oh, a little old lady's cane and a hunting knife.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes from one extreme to the other, you know? I can't figure out if she's like an old lady or Crocodile Dundee over there.
Yeah. A deputy who was at a nearby convenience store saw Hiley run outside with a knife in one hand and a broken walking cane in the other.
So apparently she got a few good hits on him.
Yeah, luckily with the cane, not with the knife.
Yeah.
When the cop confronted her, Hiley dropped the weapons and she was taken into custody. She is now facing a felony aggravated assault charge. According to the arrest report, she reeked of alcohol and didn't appear to care that she was going to jail. Another case!
People are just giving up left and right.
We just give up on life. We just give up. If I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go out with a bang and that's it. I don't care.
Yeah. This is so strange. Usually we're used to people giving crazy excuses, and this episode they're just like, nope, we did it.
Yep, we did it.
Time to go to jail.
All of our craziness happened during the act, and we're just going to own up to it.
It's like we've reached the breaking point of craziness, and people are just giving up now. There's too much craziness in the world.
Yeah, especially in Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So, there you go. Yeah, people just don't care.
Yeah, I can't believe people just give themselves up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're guilty, but, you know, fight a little. It makes the stories interesting when they put up a fight, right?
Oh, sure. The honey knife's not interesting enough.
I don't understand. What was she, 57 years old? She's walking with a cane, but she also has a hunting knife available.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case of what?
Alligator? She just marches behind him. Alligator. I don't know. This is Florida. You cannot have logic in Florida.
That's true.
We've established that.
No logic in Florida. It's Florida, and they're crazy.
There's no logic. All right, ready for our last Florida story?
Sure.
All right, one more Florida story for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
The beach is a perfect place for surf, sun, and sand.
Okay.
But not for meth.
No, I guess not. I don't know. Hey, you know what you guys want to do on the beach is your own business.
A man in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
I'll tell you, Al. A man in St. Petersburg, Florida is facing drug charges after he allegedly cooked up methamphetamine in his truck right out on Gandy Beach.
What's he doing, running like a food truck?
A meth truck.
Two meth for $3.
He has like a little jingle.
What's the ice cream truck jingle?
Yeah. But I don't know. The meth would have to be a different jingle.
No, same jingle. All the kids come running. Ice cream. This is really strange ice cream, mister.
This is adult ice cream.
This is adult ice cream.
Please move aside.
Oh. So, I mean, was he cooking it like really obviously? Did he have like a neon sign that said, I'm cooking meth here?
24-year-old Charles Tapp was arrested after deputies in the local county noticed a dark-colored Chevy Silverado parked along the beach's tree line. Tapp was in the truck, as were his needles. An investigation of the vehicle turned up other items that indicated the suspect was blatantly making meth right in the truck.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no big whoop. They won't find me here in the bright sunlight of a beach.
Well, you know, he thought they'll never think to look here.
Yeah.
They'll look in, like, shady places and, you know, dangerous places, but not the beach. Nobody cooks meth on the beach.
No.
Oh, wow. So he clearly didn't learn anything from Breaking Bad about how to properly cook meth.
No, he didn't learn anything from the show. Tapp was arrested on charges of possessing methamphetamines and unlawful possession of drugs and hydrochloric gas and chemicals, which are both used to make methamphetamines.
Oh, boy. So his dreams of opening a meth food truck are over.
His dream to become the beach version of Walter White is ruined. Police say that Tapp admitted to manufacturing meth during questioning. Again!
He gave up again?
Again! Another one that just gave up!
Jeez.
Jeez.
We're on a streak here.
Come on, have some fight in you.
I know, really. He could have come up with an excuse like, oh, it's just, I don't know, something. What would a good excuse be?
I
accidentally made meth. Whoops.
I liked the beach, and I went to the beach, and when I came back to my truck, there was meth in it. I don't know.
This guy was cooking meth here, and he ran away just as I got back.
Yeah.
You should have seen him. He was crazy.
He was cooking in my truck.
Yeah.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah, Pete. You tell it like it is, because all these people are just giving up.
I can't believe the lack of fight in the Odd News criminals this week.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing. Hopefully we'll get one where somebody fights or, I don't know, at least resists a little bit.
All right. Well, you know what? This might stop it.
Okay.
This might stop it. I got a story here.
So wait, are we done with our Florida segment?
Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. That is the last Florida story for this week.
Well, Florida was pretty weak this week.
Yeah.
Weak
the people just week. Gave up.
Yeah. They just gave up.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Usually Florida's better than that.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I mean, the stories were still pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but,
the stories were crazy, but
they didn't
live up to their normal Florida.
They didn't put up a fight.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's fix this. I'm moving my Odd News around because we need to stop this. We need to stop this streak of people just giving up. So I'm going to go with the epitome of not giving up.
Oh. All right.
And this story is actually a fan-submitted one.
A fan-submitted story?
Yeah. So I have to, before I read this story, I got to give a sausage shout-out to Amy, who sent this story in.
Sausage!
Yeah, all right. She gets a sausage shout-out.
Awesome.
Sausage!
And I got the email on this, and I fact-checked it. You know, I want to make sure that's a real story.
Right, of course.
And it is, and it's a good one. This is probably one of the best fan-submitted ones ever. So props to Amy. You deserve the sausage shout-out.
Sausage!
And here we go. Let's read this one. A New Mexico woman was finally arrested by officers of the Albuquerque Police Department in what could be the most extreme case of stalking ever recorded in the history of the United States.
Oh, boy. This sounds interesting.
Yeah, talking about not giving up.
Yeah.
We're serious here. The 28-year-old woman allegedly not only called her ex-boyfriend a formidable 77,000 times in a week.
What?
But also sent him 2,000 emails, 41,000 text messages, 200 sung messages, and 650 written letters in the same week period.
Oh, my God.
Talk about obsessive. Let that sink in for a moment.
What the hell?
You think you've had a stage 5 clinger? This is a stage 100 clinger.
Did she do anything other than write messages?
Apparently not.
What'd you say? 20 sun messages? What was that one?
70. Wait. You're talking about the messages?
Yeah.
41,000 text messages. 200 singing messages, whatever
singing
that
messages.
Is.
What the hell?
And 650 handwritten letters.
Oh, my God. That's obscene.
Okay,
hold on. Wait, 650 handwritten letters?
Yep.
In a week?
In a week.
That's 92 letters a day. What the hell? I can't write. I couldn't write that fast if I had like four hands.
Tell me if you assume my ultimate form.
And wait, oh my God, she called 70, did you say 77,000 times?
Yep.
That's 1,000 times a day, isn't it? No, 11,000 times a day.
Yep.
I can't do the math.
So she repeatedly just hit the call button, just the redial button, just over and over and over again.
All right, hold on, I gotta write down these numbers. 11,000
calls. This is madness!
Madness. This is Sparta!
This is stalking.
That is stalking.
Linda Murphy, who has a history of obsessive compulsive disorder, took her breakup with William Ryan badly.
She had obsessive compulsive disorder?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell. Couldn't tell at all. She was hiding it very well.
Are you ready for the kicker?
Hold on, wait. You mean the kicker isn't the fact that she called 11,000 times a day and wrote 650 letters in 1 week? There's still a kicker?
Yep.
Okay.
They were only dating for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, what is that, like 4 or 5 dates and like 11,000 letters later?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Jeez.
Assuming direct control.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, this is like the Reaper became your girlfriend or something.
That
assuming direct control.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for him.
All right. Oh, here we go. We're going to answer your question, Mike.
Okay.
So, how did she get that much paper? How did she get How did she get 77,000 calls in a week? She is accused of using 3 different cell phones once to call him on a nonstop loop 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
And called his cell phone number, his home number, and his work phone number.
Oh, my God.
The woman also ingested large quantities of energy drinks and amphetamines to remain awake and gone sleepless the whole week.
Oh, my God. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Oh my God.
She literally didn't sleep while she was going on this messaging binge?
Nope. She was on energy drinks and amphetamines.
Oh my God, I can just picture this like crazed woman just twitching as she's like furiously writing and typing and calling at the same time.
Yep.
Talk about multitasking. That's actually really impressive.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Assuming direct control.
Oh my God. 3 phones, 650 letters. I mean, oh my God. What was her phone bill like?
Yeah.
How much paper did she buy? The local Staples must have been like, what the hell is this person planning? She just brought 50 reams of paper.
She just bought a crate of paper.
I had to take her out back and give her the whole pallet.
She needed a bobcat to go home.
This is madness.
Madness.
This is
stalking. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you want to hear the lawyer? the guy?
So wait, the lawyer, what's he gonna say? Like, this is perfectly reasonable behavior.
No, the lawyer of the guy.
The lawyer of the guy. He's advising his client to murder the woman.
The lawyer of the guy says, quote, "My client is profoundly relieved that the woman is finally behind bars. He literally hasn't been able to
become a monk."
Yeah, that's it. He's going to become a priest now. He's had enough of women.
Forget being a priest. He's going to be a monk. He's going to take a vow of silence, a vow of chastity, a vow of poverty. He's getting the hell away from here. He's going to like take up a little stone cave in some godforsaken island.
Yeah, he doesn't need this anymore.
Oh, my God.
My client hasn't been able to sleep, work, or enjoy life in any way for the past week.
This is the funniest thing.
It is about time that this harassment has finally ceased. Oh, my God.
Oh, I wonder... Do you think her first phone call from Jim was to him? You got one phone call. Okay. She calls him one last time.
Well, the judge has ordered a psychological evaluation of the woman.
Really? Well, thank God for that. I thought this was normal behavior, Rich. You're telling me this is abnormal? She's going to have a disease named after her.
The psychological evaluation of the woman is to determine whether or not she's capable of even standing trial.
Oh, don't tell me she's going to get away with this because she's going to plead insanity.
Well, she could.
Hold on, wait. You gotta give me these numbers.
Yeah, look at the numbers again.
I gotta write down these numbers. Oh my God, Jesus! I just cannot fathom these numbers.
Yep.
Who might be assuming my ultimate form?
Assuming direct control.
All right. So, what's the next story?
All right. Well, you know what we haven't had in a while.
What haven't we had in a while?
We haven't had a good old fashioned bear story.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bears, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, that's the sound the bear makes.
So apparently Gary Busey has been in action because we haven't had a bear story in a while until now.
Yeah. All right. So what's going on with the bears? Have they been sending people text messages too?
Nope. But we had a bear that definitely had a sweet tooth.
Okay.
A bear crashed a boy's birthday party in Alaska recently and helped himself to some yummy treats.
Oh, that's nice.
Homeowners said that a black bear was climbing a tree and then fell out of the tree and crashed a little boy's birthday party.
Literally.
Yeah. The mom, Glenn, says that, quote, "I was literally in the room and I heard a cracking noise. The next thing you know, there's a bear outside that fell literally into our yard." As everyone made a mad dash for a room away from the bear went inside the house and went straight for the cupcake and the cakes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He doesn't mess around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wouldn't everybody go straight for the cupcakes and the cake, right?
That's the sound the bear makes.
And that's the sound the bear made when he got to the cupcakes.
Yeah. The bear devoured all of the cupcakes and the boy's birthday cake.
Oh, my gosh.
Poor boy didn't get his cake.
That sucks.
Luckily, the family was able to usher the bear out of the house eventually. But unfortunately for the poor boy, he did not get to eat his cake.
Well, he should just be thankful he didn't get eaten himself.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Like, when a bear crashes into your house and starts eating everything in sight, you stay away and you're happy that it's just your birthday cake.
That's the sound the bear makes.
The bear reportedly stuck around in the yard and peered in at the other people through a window.
He was waiting for them to bring out more food.
Yep. Luckily, that gave animal control enough time for them to get the bear into custody. So, no injuries to report, and the bear is with animal control there. But unfortunately, no cake. No cake.
You know what, though? That's an exciting birthday.
Yeah, that's a story to tell.
Because that kid can look back and say, you know, I remember the time a bear crashed through my birthday party and ate everything in sight.
That's the sound the bear makes.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Sure.
A mother in Newcastle, England was horrified when her stepson bit into a little deep-fried piece at the local KFC.
Uh-oh.
Crystal Henderson, a 29-year-old mother, and her 7-year-old son, Oliver, purchased takeout from a KFC in Killingsworth, according to the local newspaper. At home, Oliver took a bite from one of the deep-fried pieces and recoiled seconds later.
Oh, no.
He bit into the deep-fried piece and pulled out of his mouth a blue paper towel.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yep. Henderson said that realizing Oliver had bitten into a paper towel was worse if it had been just bad chicken. She said, quote, if it was bad chicken, it might have been just a bad batch or something, but a blue paper roll coming out of it, that could have been used for anything.
Ew, yeah.
Yeah. KFC is investigating the incident and sent the family an apology letter saying that, quote, the blue tissue has most likely originated from a tissue roll used for hygiene purposes. The store assumes that it must have fallen unseen into the breading lug that is under the sieve and was not noticed by the cook. KFC says that they are very sorry and has offered Henderson a free meal.
Wow, one free meal. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I don't think she's going to take that offer.
Yeah. You know what, though? Honestly, I was expecting much worse. I was expecting, like, a bug or a finger or... I mean, a paper towel or... What was it? Paper towel or just regular towel?
A blue used paper towel, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of disgusting.
They could have used it for anything.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't a body part. Or another animal.
Yeah.
If you're biting a chicken and it's not chicken.
Well, no, it could be worse. It could have been that Wilmington chicken.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. And I got one last story for you.
Okay.
And this one, I love people.
Okay.
I love people.
All right.
A Barclays bank. Yeah, that's pretty fancy. We're talking about Barclays here.
Yeah.
A Barclays Bank branch in England had to be shut down temporarily after a man calmly strolled in wearing his shorts and flip-flops, decided to pull down those shorts, and calmly deposited multiple poops right on the lobby floor.
Oh, my God. I love the fact that he did it calmly. Just yep. Like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Did you say multiple poops?
Multiple, yep.
Wow. So he was saving this up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The customer apparently wasn't interested in banking when he just walked into the branch around lunchtime. Customer Gareth said that he saw the determined dumper. His eyewitness
determined
said...
Determined dumper. Didn't we have another story about a determined dumper once?
Yep. The eyewitness said, quote, he didn't say anything at all.
Well, because he was doing his business.
I really wasn't paying attention to him.
Until he started crapping.
Until I noticed a foul smell.
And the fact that he had no pants on and he was squatting over.
He had shorts on.
And spraying crap all over the floor.
I looked at the guy and he was just calmly walking around the bank. And going to all the areas he could and just pooping everywhere.
My God. He was out for vengeance then. I mean,
yeah.
He must have had it out for this bank branch.
Yep. It's quite clear what he was doing.
No kidding.
He just had this calm look on his face. And he walked around leaving special deposits all over the floor.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He went in there with a mission.
He calmly walked in and walked out. Staff didn't know what just happened.
Oh, my gosh.
The man pooped on four corners of the lobby and once on the bank stairs.
He really had a lot in him, didn't he? Oh, my gosh.
The branch was forced to close down while bank employees had to clean up the mess.
Oh, the employees had to do it?
Yeah.
They don't have a cleaning service or something?
Emergency cleaning service?
Some guy took a dump on our floor.
We need you to come in, stat.
Stat, yeah. We have a code 101 brown.
Quick! We need the emergency cleanup services. The ECS. Call them right now. Get them on the line!
We have a renegade pooper on the loose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Another eyewitness said, I have no idea who that guy is and why he covered the bank in his excrement. But
did the eyewitness really say excrement?
That's probably edited.
Probably.
But he just looked a little bit smug as he walked in and walked out.
Well, look, if you got the balls to walk into a bank and just let, you know, let loose all over the place, you know, that's impressive.
And there you go. That is what I have in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh, my gosh.
Just calmly making a deposit.
He was a man on a mission.
Yeah.
He was. He knew what he was doing. He was determined. He was calm. He was focused.
And he knew, you know, just to, you know, not make a scene.
Yeah.
Just calmly do your stuff and walk out.
Did nobody notice this? Like, he does it one time. He walks over. He does it another time. Do you think people would start catching on?
I think you're just more just in a state of shock. That
yeah, you're just watching
this.
It happen and you're going, I can't believe this is happening in front of me.
Yeah.
Because he would have to walk to each spot, pull down his pants, squat.
Five locations.
Yeah.
The four in the corner and one on the stairs.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh. And there you go. That is what I have for this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. Woo! And you know what? Between the odd news and the entertainment entree and the sports sampler, we've learned a lot. And what we like to do to recap everything that we've learned is put it all together into our recap segment that we like to call What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
Well, in our last story, we learned if you're gonna poop in a bank, just be calm and determined.
Yep. Don't make a scene.
That's right. Don't make a scene. Just go in there with a mission and accomplish it. We also learned that it's not a good idea to open a meth food truck on the beach.
Oh, no?
No, yeah. People need to pay more attention to Breaking Bad and follow the proper way how to cook meth, I think.
Ah, okay. Get your Netflix ready.
That's right. We also learned that a lot of people gave themselves up in this episode after they were caught.
Yeah, come on.
Not a lot of fighting people today.
Yeah,
huh?
come on. They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, one guy put up a fight. Somebody tried to escape on a riding mower.
Yeah.
But as we learned, it's not a very good escape vehicle, is it?
No. There's no secret gear in that one.
You know what? Actually, another person that put up a fight is the real-life Mortal Kombat guy.
Yeah.
That ripped a dude's heart out for not sharing noodles.
Yeah.
Lesson is always share noodles.
Like the crispy noodle.
Like the crispy noodle.
Share the crispy noodle with your friends.
That's right.
Or they might come over and do some Mortal Kombat stuff to you.
Oh, my gosh. We also learned that fire is not a good weapon against spiders.
No.
Don't burn down your house because of one bug. Even though the internet says to, don't do it.
Right.
And last but not least, we learned that there is such a thing as being too into someone. And that line that this person crossed would be after 77,000 calls, 1,900 emails, 41,000 text messages, 217 singing messages, and 650 handwritten notes in 1 week.
Yeah, that's definitely too much.
We also learned that this equals 11,000 calls, 5,800 texts, 217 emails, and 92 handwritten letters each day.
Yeah. Just a little bit over the top.
Yeah, overkill, I think.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And we also learned that too many games was so much fun over the weekend.
Oh, yes. We also learned there is such a thing as too many games because we are all gamed out, aren't we?
Yeah. But definitely check out our Facebook and Twitter to see all of the pictures and videos from the event. And there you go. That is what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! And the ending music kicks in. It means that it's time to wrap this show up. What a show, Mike.
Oh, another great one. I'm so exhausted after all that crazy odd news.
Yep. But this is the craziness and the excitement that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Well, you know what? For more and more on our exploits at too many games, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and to follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. And speaking of too many games, you can check out all of our exclusive interviews with the developers on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe. We'll have all those videos up later in the week for you guys. It'll be like you were there with us.
Yeah.
And also make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you can get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. You can take it with you on the go, listen to it at work, anywhere, anytime. The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And also, if you aren't doing anything Wednesday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., check out the Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page, because that's where we debut each week's new show Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. But if you can't make it during that time slot, make sure to subscribe to us on the iTunes podcast, because new podcasts come every Thursday. So, yeah, like Mike said, you can take it on whatever device you want to. It's perfect.
That's right. It's perfect for all occasions. But if you don't have time for the whole episode, we also have a SoundCloud page. Isn't that right, Rich?
That's right. It's where you can get little mini noodles, our best bits condensed into a minute or two. They're easily shareable with friends. It's the perfect way to share the crispy noodle with your friends.
So there you go. Lots of ways to get in touch with us and share the awesomeness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually, you can find me on Twitter at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you follow us on Twitter. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Let's head in the 4th of July weekend. Let's celebrate.
That's right. Woo! Go America.
Yeah, America. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages.
Sausages!
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America. They come to America.
No sausages!
They come to America.
No sausages.
They come to America today.
It's American. No sausages.
Today.
It's American. No sausages.
Today.
It's American. No sausages.
Today.
Hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages.